Welcome to the Business of Government Hour, a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. The Business of Government Hour is produced by the IBM Center for the Business of Government, which was created in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can find out more about the center by visiting us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. And now, the Business of Government Hour.
Good morning. I'm Albert Morales, your host and managing partner of the IBM Center for the Business of Government. Over 4 years ago, Congress and the President created the new department whose central mission would be to secure the homeland, integrating and aligning 22 separate governmental agencies into a single, cohesive, efficient, and effective department. During this rather short interval, DHS has faced many challenges while continuing to make progress in securing our country from threats. With us this morning to discuss his office and its role is our special guest, David Norquist, Chief Financial Officer at the U.S. Department of Homeland Security. Good morning, David.
Good morning.
And joining us in our conversation, also from IBM, is Steve Watson, partner in IBM's Financial Management Practice. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Alan. David, thanks for joining us this morning.
David, let's start with some perspective. Many may not realize that the creation of DHS has represented one of the largest reorganizations in government since the Second World War. Could you set some more context by providing us a sense of its mission and its continued evolution?
Sure. The department was formed out of 22 different agencies, and so we went from something that was not existent to becoming the third largest federal agency, which is a pretty dramatic transformation. Some organizations came intact, such as Transportation and Security Administration, United States Coast Guard. Some organizations like Immigration and Naturalization Service and the Customs Service were reorganized during their time with DHS. But the overall idea was that the department would benefit, the country would benefit by having a department that had one common face at the border, that one overarching mission to secure the homeland, to facilitate lawful trade, travel, and immigration, and to help protect our freedoms. And by bringing all those different groups together with that common mission, that we'd be much stronger for it.
So you gave us a sense of some of the components within the department, but can you give us a little bit more of the sense of the scale in terms of size of budget, number of employees, the geographic reach and footprint of the department?
The department has 209,000 employees and a budget of $35 billion for fiscal year 2008. And we show up all across the country. If you're getting on at an airline, you run into Transportation Security Administration. Customs and Border Protection is the one that greets you at the ports of entry when you're coming across the border or going through Customs Security. The Coast Guard is there at sea if you're in trouble or to help protect the navigable waterways. We have ICE, the Immigration and Customs Enforcement, enforcing our nation's laws throughout the interior. And, of course, FEMA during a disaster is there to help and to respond. And so we have a footprint not only throughout the United States, but as well as attachés at embassies overseas.
So lots of moving parts.
Yes, indeed.
Dave, thanks for that overview of the department. Could you focus in a bit on your roles and responsibilities as the Chief Financial Officer? What are your responsibilities?
Two jobs boil down to building the budget and being a good steward of taxpayers' money. We just finished the audit on the 2000 budget. We've got the 2008 budget we're executing. We're going to present the 2009 budget to Congress in the beginning of February. And so you have all of those different moving parts at the same time. And we have to make sure that the Secretary has the ability to reflect in the budget the relative priorities, to be able to address different risks to the nation by investing resources against those higher priority areas. And so as the Chief Financial Officer, as the different components submit their budgets, I help present them to him as options. What's the relative risk of this threat versus that? What's the relative effectiveness of different solutions? And then he can make the choices about where to invest the resources, and the President can submit that recommendation for the budget to Congress. At the same time, I worry about those funds as they're being executed. Do we have the proper internal controls? Do we have the policies and the procedures to protect the American taxpayers' money? And so we go through review processes of our how we execute money. One of the most basic controls you'd look for is you want to make sure that the person who orders the item and the person who pays for the item and the person who receives the item are three different people. And that is a strong internal control that if you reflect it throughout your organization, greatly enhances your protection of the taxpayers' money.
David, that's a broad set of responsibilities you've defined there, both in budget and as the chief accounting officer, in effect. What are the top challenges you're facing right now in executing those responsibilities, and how are you going about addressing those challenges?
Well, Steve, I think the key is we need to move beyond an agency in transition. When I came into the department, people said, you know, DHS is new, it needs some time. And certainly when you've had a large reorganization, it takes some time to make all the changes you want. But we basically are tackling three areas. The first is the staff. Do you have the right number of staff with the right skill sets to accomplish the mission? All internal controls begin with people who know how to do their job and do it well. The second is we've had audits and others that have identified known weaknesses. And so we have a job to go out and address those, to eliminate those weaknesses and fix their problems. And the third is we have to go beyond that. We have to look at those core things that many other agencies have and take for granted and ensure that we have them so that we don't have this in the future. One simple example is most organizations have basic financial management manuals, tell you how to do the processes and the procedures. Our components, some of them brought them with them, but as a department, you don't have that, so you don't know that you've got the best business practice in every organization. And it's our job to establish that, to elevate it, and thereby prevent new problems from occurring. And, of course, you have to do all this at the same time you're producing and delivering a budget to Congress and doing the regular day activities.
Now, David, you've spent most of your career in the financial community. Can you provide our listeners with a sense of your career path? How did you get started in this field?
Sure. I came out as a graduate of the University of Michigan with both an undergraduate from there and a master's in public policy. I then went to work for the Department of the Army as a GS-9 program budget analyst through what was then called the Presidential Management Intern Program. I spent several years with the Department of the Army, and over the course of my 18 years doing federal financial management, I have worked at a U.S. military field site overseas as the Director of Resource Management. I've worked at Army headquarters. I've worked at a major command. I worked for several years with the House Appropriations Committee, and I've worked at both the DOD Comptroller Shop, which is their CFO organization, and here at DHS. So one of the advantages of that is I have worked at basically every level at which the federal government spends money.
So tell me a little bit about some of these experiences and how do you think that they have prepared you for your current leadership role and informed your management approach?
I think one of the things that's essential for a leader is to be able to have the perspective of the individuals and the organizations they're dealing with. When you're at headquarters writing a policy, you need to imagine you're the person out in the field site attempting to implement it. Does this make sense to that person trying to implement it? Likewise, you have to take into account the perspective of the Congress. What are their concerns and issues going to be? And so if you've walked a mile in their shoes, if you've had to deal with those day-to-day decisions that are dramatically different between those levels of an organization, it makes it much easier to manage. You understand why something is a particular concern to an organization or why a certain policy would create a problem rather than be a solution for somebody who's out at a field site.
So perhaps more so than any other role, there are many constituents to consider when you're working in this field.
Absolutely. And it's best if you've had the chance to be in their shoes in order to really understand how what you're going to do is going to affect them and be able to look at how to have an effective control from their perspective as well.
Great. What is Homeland Security's financial management modernization strategy? We will ask David Norquist, Chief Financial Officer at the U.S. Department of Homeland Security, to share with us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.